Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM.
Back in 1923, a group of women got together to help the hospital in Coburg. They would roll bandages, sew tourniquets, and give assistance wherever needed. This was the early days of the hospital auxiliary. The role of the auxiliary would expand. It would fundraise, offer expanded services to support doctors and nurses, and over the years, it would continue to be a pillar within the organization to help deliver care. Now, 100 years later, the people volunteering continue to provide essential support. They are people at the front desk to direct visitors. They assist in various clinics, filling vending machines, wheeling patients to the door as they are leaving. The list goes on. Beyond that, it continues to be a major contributor to fundraising. Listen as three key people with the auxiliary share their knowledge and experience as the organization commemorates a century of service.
I'm thrilled to have with me today Laura McCracken-Eberl, chair of the planning committee for the 100th anniversary of the Northumberland Hills Hospital Auxiliary. I also have Selena Forsyth, president of the Northumberland Hills Hospital Auxiliary, and Jennifer Gillard, vice president of patient experience, public affairs, and partnerships. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Good to be here.
First of all, I want to start by congratulating you on the 100th anniversary of the Northumberland Hills Hospital Auxiliary. What a fantastic thing. Now, let's begin with some basics before we get into the 100th anniversary. Many people may know the name Northumberland Hills Hospital Auxiliary, but I bet there are some people out there who really don't know what the hospital auxiliary is or what it does. So let's start with you, Selena. Can you tell us, what is the hospital auxiliary and what does it do?
Oh my goodness. The hospital auxiliary, actually I've been with the auxiliary for 20 years and it's changed considerably over those years. But essentially what we do is we do anything that's required to be of assistance to anybody at the hospital, whether they be staff, whether they be physicians, whether they be patients, whether they be people walking in off the street. I mean, the members of the auxiliary are the first people that anybody sees when they come in through the front door, because we're on the front desk. We're on the help desk to show people where they have to go if they don't know where they're going. But then we have people who are literally spending several hours in different departments, and that's anywhere from chemotherapy to outpatients to the emergency department. We're everywhere. We are everywhere. And so we are contributing our time as to the hospital, because it's a place that we love to be and that we think is very worthwhile volunteering for. So we're volunteers. We're there because we want to be.
How many volunteers belong to the auxiliary?
Good question. When I first joined, we had about 350, maybe a little more than that. But over the, that's 20 years ago, remember. But over the years, volunteers by definition are generally speaking up there in years. We do have volunteers who are in their 40s and 50s, but most of them are over 70. And so over the years, people have gone for a variety of reasons, retired or died or whatever. And as you probably know, Rob, getting volunteers in just about any organization in this day and age is tough. It seems, we even have a hard time getting volunteers from schools, where it used to be, you know, candy stripers were everywhere. So over the years, we have reduced. We now have I think about 250, Laura, am I right there? I think it's about 250 volunteers. Some of them are not active. They're on the list because they've been around forever. And so they still get all of the information that we send out. So we have about 250. We're always looking for new volunteers. And of course, COVID really, really decimated our numbers considerably. For first of all, for a long time, we had no volunteers at the hospital at all because we were obviously, for very good reasons, not allowed in. And then some volunteers chose not to come back because they were afraid of being in that environment. However, interestingly, over a period of time, many of those people who decided that they were afraid to come back have changed their minds, and they have started to come back. We've also been finding in the last while that I think in the last while we've had, I don't know about, I can't remember, Jennifer, is it 50 or 30 new volunteers over the last while?
Good memory. In the last, since July, when you launched the campaign for recruitment, right. I believe we're just 50 or 51 expressions of interest, with the majority of those matched with volunteer opportunities.
Right. I'd like to find out, though, can you describe the types of people who volunteer? Maybe Laura, join us in the conversation. Can you describe the type of people who volunteer?
Sure. I think people who volunteer at the hospital want to give back to the community. Many of those people have had a good experience at the hospital, or their family has had a good experience and they want to give back. That's important. That's how my mother began in 1968. She appreciated the care that her mother received at a Montreal hospital and living in Cobourg. She thought, how can I help? So she joined, and it's been a family legacy for me. We have the best volunteers in Northumberland County, bar none. We have people who have volunteered on a continual basis for 52 years and continue to do so on a weekly basis. You just can't match that anywhere else. These are for intrinsic values. They get joy from helping other people. And it's not just the volunteering with the patients and with their families. We also run two business enterprises, a thrift shop, Petticoat Lane, and the Little Treasure Shop, which is a gift shop within the hospital. Both really important endeavors, and both earn us a good deal of money to contribute to the hospital for equipment.
If I can just jump in there, we do have, Rob, a commitment to the hospital of, we commit to somehow finding $170,000 a year that we will commit to the hospital. And not only do we, except for a couple of the COVID years, not only have we always found that $170,000, but we've actually exceeded it some years to $200,000. And as I think you know, over the 100 years, the number is about $5.5 million altogether that we've contributed. And in the last 5 years, we have actually contributed $1 million to a particular, I don't know, what would you call it, Jennifer, it's CIS, which is the clinical information system that the hospital has developed and is continues to develop, which is very expensive, and the volunteer organization, we have contributed $1 million to that cause. So, you know, our unlike many hospitals in Ontario and in Canada, I suspect, our fundraising is huge compared to most. I mean, some volunteers don't do any fundraising. And so it's a big part of our organization, at Petticoat Lane and the Little Treasure Shop. The Little Treasure Shop had its open house the other day, and they raised, I think, close to $5 million in the three, $5,000 in the 3 days.
guys have given me so much information in such a short period of time. I want to take some time and let's unpack this, because there's just okay. so much in there that we should explain, and so to help people really understand just the breadth and the diversity of all the things that you do. So let's go back a little bit. And before we get into some of these better known activities, what would you say are some of the areas where you provide important services to people that they may not realize that you're there in the hospital? I'm wondering particular things like, I understand you help with the vending machines, diagnostic imaging. Let's start. Laura, what are some of these incredible programs that you work on that are not the usual thing, like the front desk and the emergency room where people run into you all the time?
Well, we provide, I guess you'd call it portering from the surgical suites. So no patient leaves our surgical suites without being taken directly to their vehicle to be, or to a vehicle to be picked up by family or friends. And so that's a really great service. They're able to chat with the patient on the way out of the hospital. They're returned safely to whoever brought them. I think it's a comfort level. It helps the staff enormously. We're on the floors. We're chatting with patients. We're filling water jugs. We're in maternal child care. We're helping to register patients for mammography and ultrasound. I think the front desk is important. It's what I do. I do it on a weekly basis. We are the face of Northumberland Hills Hospital. We greet nervous patients. We direct anxious family. Sometimes they're anxious because they're excited. They're going to meet their first grandchild. Or sometimes they're anxious because they're trying to find a merge where their spouse or their child has registered. Sometimes they're going to visit a friend. Occasionally it's a flowers being delivered, a card being delivered. They don't know where they're going. They're anxious for a test for themselves. I can't dismiss that. I think it's a really important job that we do. And I think we do it pretty well. And we get lots of feedback at the front desk that we make people feel welcome and comfortable. And hospitals are a scary place.
I'd like to step back for a moment now and get into the history of the auxiliary. I mean, 100 years is a heck of a long time. Laura, what can you tell us about the founding of the auxiliary? How did it happen? Who was involved? What was it originally doing?
Well, in 1923, a small group of women joined forces to help support the hospital. They did no fundraising at that time. They were sewing bandages, that type of thing. They were assisting as they could, but there were limited opportunities for their role. It expanded over time. It grew exponentially. When I joined the auxiliary in 1989, we had 450 members, and we continued to have 450 members for a very long time. Programs changed and developed. We started fundraising, I would say, in the 40s sometime in the 40s, I believe. And that changed everything too. We had a gift shop and then later Petticoat Lane. But we've also raised funds in other ways. You know, we held an annual Christmas bazaar in the lobby of the former Coburg Hospital. We had Bridge Marathon that ran every year long, that went for decades and decades and raised funds. We had poinsettia teas. We had a polar bear dip. We've tried all kinds of fundraising endeavors, which were just singular events or long-term events. And now we're focusing predominantly on the two retail operations. But for 99 years, we operated by ourselves. We recruited and we maintained and we supported each other. And we have just celebrated 100th anniversary. It's an incredible thing. There are very few organizations in this country, I would imagine, who are celebrating 100 years of giving to their hospital.
Could you share your story of how you got involved?
I could. I got involved because my mother was involved, as I told you earlier. She began in 68. She was later a president. She was teaching full time and volunteering and had three children at home. And so occasionally when her shift on Monday evening at the gift shop, she was supposed to be there, and sometimes she couldn't get there. So I, as a young teen, would go and fill in for her in the days when every item was noted in a scribbler, and the price. We sold cigarettes in the shop. It was definitely a different time. Later, as an adult, a fairly young adult, I joined in 1989 with an infant and a toddler in tow. And in those days, we used to decorate the entire hospital for Christmas. We worked on the admitting desk. We ran the gift shop. We had an incredible program on what we called the third floor, which was long-term care at the time. And that was daily. We ran social activities, musical activities, art activities. It was a very growing concern, and many, many volunteers were involved in that. I would venture to guess, up to 100 would work at keeping that program going. It was very, very successful and well-received.
I'd like to ask you, do you have a memorable moment from working as a volunteer? Do you have a story or an individual that you'd like to share?
Oh, my goodness. I'd be hard pressed to choose, but the one that jumps immediately to mind actually was, I worked for almost 10 years in Emerge, and some of the experiences there were absolutely extraordinary. The one that really jumps to mind was there was a huge car accident on the 401, and all of the people involved were brought to the hospital, and the volunteer in Emerge was a high school student who planned on eventually being in the medical profession, which is how that works. You know, the students who are interested in a future in medicine come, and they usually often want to work in Emerge. And this young woman worked in Emerge, and what she was dealing with was a French-Canadian family who spoke no English. And she was taking French in high school, and she was doing extremely well. And that young woman, who was, I think, about 17, spent several hours after her shift was over in Emerge talking to those people, explaining. There was a very small child who was extremely badly hurt, who had been rushed into Emerge immediately. And that young woman, I'm sorry, it's even difficult for me to tell the story. That young woman took care of that family. And that's called volunteering. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. Not at all. Thank you. I'd like to ask both of you this question. So I'll go back to Laura to start. You must see a lot of different things, as Selena's just described, people in distress, suffering, and so on. How do you deal with this?
We try to deal with it calmly and professionally, even though we aren't professionals, sensitively. We don't interfere. We listen. We answer questions. People where they need to go.
But let me ask you this then. There must be a flip side to this as well. There must be moments that are incredibly joyful where you see healing, people going home. What do you experience when you see that, when volunteers see that?
It's wonderful. One of the nicest things that happens at Northumberland Hills Hospital, after each baby is born, we play Brahms' Lullaby throughout the hospital. And it's a moment where everybody stops, they pause, and it doesn't matter whether somebody's standing at the counter waiting to go to surgery. And they often say to me, what's that? I said, a baby was just born. And then everybody just smiles. You stop, you pause, you think, a new life. Isn't that wonderful? And so every time I'm on that desk, doesn't happen every time, but every time it does, it's a lovely moment. And it's nice to explain that to people coming through the front door.
Selena, as more and more aspects of healthcare get professionalized and healthcare continues to change, is there a role for the auxiliary going into the future?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, our needs at the hospital, you know, we have one of the better hospitals that I can, you know, think of. In fact, the Governor General in her notes to our 100th anniversary said remarkable things about this hospital. Laura actually could quote for you. Go ahead, Laura, please quote.
Yeah, the Honorable, Her Excellency, the Governor General, on the occasion of our 100th anniversary, said, "I'm pleased to send greetings to everyone celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Northumberland Hills Hospital Auxiliary. Since the Ladies Auxiliary held their inaugural meeting in 1923, the NHH Auxiliary has grown into one of the most active hospital auxiliaries in the province today. Throughout its history, its members have upheld a spirit of community, investing their time, energy, and kindness to support patients, their families, and hospital staff. In recent years, the medical community has been at the forefront of the battle against the COVID-19 pandemic. I would like to take the opportunity to thank the NHH Auxiliary for its role in providing care, comfort, and healing to their fellow citizens during these uncertain times. Your commitment to helping others and to providing exceptional care is a source of inspiration. Congratulations to everyone involved in reaching this important milestone." And that is from Mary Simon, Governor General of Canada.
Do you think the auxiliary will be around in another 100 years?
I hope so.
I can't imagine it won't be. And to keep that in mind, I'd like to tell you how to join, if you'd like to join.
Is this the part where you do the commercial message, Selena?
Yeah, this is the part where I say, okay, if you'd like to become a member of the auxiliary at Northumberland Hills Hospital, and you will be greeted warmly. But what you have to do, first of all, is get the application form, which is either from the front desk at the hospital, or you can get it from Petticoat Lane, or you could call the office, and I will give you the number, which is 905-372-6811, extension 4630. Leave your name and number and somebody will be in touch with you. And then you come for a meeting, then you get a tour of the hospital, and then you are literally, then you have to think about which department you want to work in. And some people come with a preconceived notion of, I want to work in Emerge, or I want to work on the front desk, or I want to work in Petticoat Lane. But, you know, once they've done the whole tour and gone through the entire hospital and found out what the different jobs are, often they change their mind. And so that's the experience. Fill out the form, send it in, come for the interview, and then you'll go from there. And let me tell you, believe me, whoever is listening to this, you will have a wonderful time. It may sound absurd. It may sound ridiculous to say that you're going to have a wonderful time working as a volunteer in a hospital. But trust me, you will have a wonderful time.
Laura McCracken, Eberl, Selena Forsyth, Jennifer Gillard, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you for your interest.
Been a pleasure.
That was Laura McCracken, Eberl, Chair for the Planning Committee for the 100th Anniversary, Selena Forsyth, President of the Northumberland Hills Hospital Auxiliary, and Jennifer Gillard, Vice President of Patient Experience, Public Affairs, and Partnerships.
I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.